Now this is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your sibling has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with them, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely,' but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Becoming your full potential. The scripture reading today brings up a question for me. A question about Jesus. Jesus is speaking today, as he's been speaking through these last few weeks, giving his Sermon on the Mount. It is a sermon in which the people who are listening to him wonder at his words. They say, "Who is this who teaches with such authority?" Jesus is a speaker with authority. But how much authority do we really give to Jesus in our life? This is a teaching of Jesus, but it is a difficult one. Talking about being angry with a sibling, talking about divorce and lust, about staying true to our word. These are not easy topics. They are difficult teachings. And I think Jesus gives us difficult teachings a bit on purpose to help us to see that we really do need God, but they still remain difficult teachings. And what do we do with a difficult teaching? What do we do with a teaching like this from one who has authority, some sort of authority? We come together, call ourselves Christians. We give Jesus some sort of authority in our lives, but what is that authority? One of the ways that I find scriptures to be helpful to me is if I don't always come at them straight on, but sort of come at them sideways, or let them come at me sideways. That's the way the truth often gets in the deepest, and when it strikes you in a way that you're not expecting it. And so it is always helpful, and part of my job as the preacher of the good news, to try and present something that is news, something new in these words. And one of the things that I wonder about these words, if we can come at it just a slightly different way this morning, is that I wonder if what Jesus is doing in this teaching is not just providing us a teaching, but telling us, this is who I am. And when you start hanging around with me, this is who you will become. When a teacher who's worked on a teaching, on a lesson plan, something not just that they are teaching by the book, but something they care about, something that they want to share, a discovery that they have that they want to share with their students. Like when I am leading confirmation and share with the kids a lesson that I hold dear to my heart and I want them to share in and have that discovery, or when I'm leading a group of adults through a discipleship class, or when a friend who was in CPE, my chaplaincy internship while I was in seminary, as we would do in our chaplaincy internships, one of the jobs was to have a teaching for the staff and the folks on our unit. Some sort of sharing of knowledge, some sort of way of growing as people and as care providers. And I remember one teaching in particular that one of my friends and cohorts, Becky, was giving. She had prepared it, spent weeks preparing her teaching to share with the unit, and it came time for her to share it. We had rented out sort of a small conference room at the hospital and sort of reserved that space over lunch. And first off, it didn't go well. Almost nobody came. The chaplains were there in support, but of the staff on the unit, very few actually showed up. So it was already off to a poor start. When you're having a teaching, you hope that there are students that are interested and you want to share it with them. And then it kind of went downhill from there. She got nervous. She flubbed some of the words. Some of the ideas didn't come across clearly. Questions were asked, and it was hard for her to answer them. It kind of turned into a mess. Like our worst fears whenever you have to give that project report to a group of people and you're not sure how it's going to go. This was about the worst it could have gone. And she had some strong emotions about that. Afterwards, she broke down into tears. And it was really hard, because she had put so much of herself into this teaching, that she felt as if she had taken a part of herself out and shared it with people. And first, very few cared. And second, very few understood. When we share a teaching or a discovery with others, we are sharing a bit of ourselves. What's that aspect of truth that we have found connected and resonated with who we are? What is that aspect of the truth of reality that we can share, that we have been inspired by, that we want to draw attention to and want other people to discover? When we teach, one of the things that we do as a teacher is share, this is who I am. And so Jesus, as he sets out to share and teach and preach in the Sermon on the Mount, is sharing himself and saying, this is who I am. And this is the teaching that he gives. He's describing himself. But not just describing himself, he's also describing the fullness of who we will become if we start hanging around with him. Because who is Jesus? Who is this person who is sharing themselves in these teachings with us? One way to see Jesus is as a great religious prophet, one who has come with perhaps a new twist on things, someone who has great religious insights, who has come to understand something unique and about the depths of God, and who wants to share that with other people. We might see Jesus as a great prophet, a great man. We might give authority to Jesus as one who has peered into the depths of reality and seen something and embodied that in himself and then shares it with the world. That is one way we might give authority to Jesus, but it's not the deepest way. For even great religious prophets might have religious insights with whom we might disagree. We might not understand their words. Their words might not make sense. They might be couched in a certain situation and so aren't generally applicable. Ultimately, Jesus, as a great religious prophet, might be where we start our journey of faith. And our relationship with Jesus, coming to hear his words and gathering around them and trying to learn from them, but it ought not to be where we end. So who is Jesus? As we go on and reading more of Jesus' words and coming to understand his story through the Gospels, we might come to understand Jesus and give Jesus a new kind of authority. Not just an authority of religious insight, but now an authority of love. Who we see Jesus as one who loves me and who ultimately saves me, who dies for me on a cross and cares for me so deeply. Then that might inspire us to want to do whatever we can to please Jesus, to try and repay this debt which Jesus has paid for us, to this one who has died on a cross, this one who has cared so much about me and about those that I love and about really everyone in the world that they have died, might make us love Jesus in return. Because Jesus first loved us. And love is definitely a profound level of authority. In love, we open ourselves up to another person. We give them the power to form us, to move us, to affect us in our emotional states and in our lives. Love is a powerful authority, but while this is a good place to get to, and one that as Christians I hope that we grow into, moving from Jesus, seeing Jesus as just a great religious prophet, to someone who loves us so much and who we love in return, it's not where I want us to end. Because maybe, well, maybe, just maybe, we get mad at the people we love. Maybe we get mad at God, mad at Jesus. Maybe things don't go quite the right way in our lives, in my life, and I get blinded by my emotions from the fullness of reality, and I feel emotionally unloved in that moment. And then that love that I had for Jesus, well, that doesn't really seem like it's going to do the trick at the moment. There is a deeper authority yet. Jesus, these words of Jesus, this person who is sharing who they are, we might go to Jesus ultimately because we want to find out how the universe works. It's a different level of authority than the other two. It means taking Jesus quite seriously. It means taking seriously the claims that without this Christ, nothing was made. That Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and all things came into being through the Word. And without that Word, nothing was made. Now, scientists might struggle with a part of the universe and study it and spend years exploring it and, you know, testing it just to understand one tiny part. But here in Jesus, through our faith, we have the opportunity to recognize the authority of the one who has created this entire universe, who's put everything together, who knows the truth about the heart of us, of the planet, of the solar system, of the galaxy, of the universe, of the smallest atom. And so this person who shares, "This is who I am," is the one who can tell us this is what the universe, what ultimate reality is all about. And ultimately, Jesus says that at the heart of this universe, at the heart of all of this, of everything, is love. Is love. Jesus' words strike a little different if we read them and wonder, what does this say about the heart of reality? When he talks about murder and anger and the power and the importance of reconciliation, Jesus pulls back the veil and reveals to us through his words, through his sharing of who he is, that really at the heart of reality, we are not all that separate from one another. And we were not created or formed to be separate, but to be reconciled in love. When Jesus speaks about adultery and lust, we can learn in those words that we are not formed to be yearning and grasping for something outside of ourselves to fulfill an ache inside of us. That the universe is not made to be grasping and hurting others. But that in ultimate reality, in the fullness of who we are, we are at peace with ourselves, with those around us, and need not desire anything. With his words on divorce, Jesus teaches us that the relationships that we are in the universe, the ways that we are related to one another, are not made to be broken. And indeed, the deepest relationship at the foundation of reality will not be broken. The God who formed us, who crafted us, who placed that image of God in us, who breathed life into us, no matter what we do, will not divorce us, will not abandon us, but will be with us no matter what. In Jesus' words about oaths, Jesus tells us that the universe is what it is, that we can trust our senses, that we can experience life, and that when we are at peace with the fullness that is at the heart of us, that we will find a simplicity of purpose, a simplicity of being, a simplicity of love. Because that's what's at the heart of it all. We are created in the image of God, created by the one who speaks these words this morning, created and formed by the word of Jesus. That is the seed of our being. That's the seed of who we are. It's the seed of who we are intended to become. As Christians, we get the opportunity to know that Jesus, to grow up into that likeness of Jesus. And that likeness of Jesus, this I am that Jesus shares, is the fullness of who we've always been intended to become. So these aren't just the words of a prophet. They're not just the words of one who loves you. But these are the words of one who has crafted you and is calling you into the fullness and the joy of everything that you have been created to be. Amen.
See you.